Amen, amen, amen. Oh, he's so worthy. He's so worthy. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might. Amen. Man, if we're going to praise him, we need to praise him like we're serious about praising him. Thank you. Man, they did good, didn't they? Amen. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. That scripture should make us pray more than what we pray. Doug, I think we need to have this resolved in our heart that if people are going to be destroyed, they're going to be destroyed climbing over top of a church that is doing everything they can to make sure they're not destroyed. Amen? Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. Few there be that find it. You can be seated. I want you right now, if you would, I want you to close your eyes. Close your eyes for a minute. Nobody looking around. And I want to ask you for just a moment. I want you to look back over your life. Follow the timeline back that brought you here to this very moment. You're sitting in the church. But there are so many things that brought you to this moment. Go back real quick, if you can, in your mind. Go back to your, if you're married, go back to your wedding. Think about that for a minute. Go back to high school. Think about that for a minute. Middle school, elementary school, preschool. Tough decisions have been made in your life. If you agree, you can open your eyes. There was a lot of decisions, and it's amazing how your mind works. Because let me tell you something about life. It makes more sense looking back at it than living in the moment. My life, when I look back, it makes a lot more sense when I look back, and Dustin, I can figure out, see the hand of God after the fact. But it's in the moment, because right now we are living in this moment. We can only live in this exact moment. And in this moment, some of us are making decisions right now. Some of us are in pain right now. Some of us are in emotional pain, some in physical pain. There are things that you carry with you. Some of us in this room have suffered tragic losses in our life, and we carry those with us every day. It's amazing how life puts you in just this exact moment, and in the moment, it's amazing how big it can seem in that moment. What if I would have taken the other job? What if I would have went to college or finished college or took a different career path? What if Would I be somewhere else different than I am right now? Has anybody ever asked yourself that question? Have you ever wondered if there's somebody like you out there living a better life than you because they made better decisions than you? You ever wondered that? You're like, man, there's another, you know, there's another me out there, and our circumstances through life was about the same, and he just did so much better. And he's living his best life now, and I'm just wondering if where I am right now is exactly where I'm supposed to be. Anybody, show of hands, anybody ever wondered that? Just wondered if you're where you're supposed to be? Am I making the right decisions now? What if I wouldn't have married her? Or what if I would have? What if I wouldn't have married him? What if I would have? You ask those questions, or you say, I did marry them and I didn't like it. There's a lot of what ifs that can go on in your mind. What if I would have said no? Or what if I would have said yes? There's so many different directions, but it's in that moment, it's absolutely huge. Aaron, Robin, I want to pick on you for just a minute. He said, bring it on. She said, oh no. Thomas, I've known them for a long time. They are over marriages in our church. I remember a time when we were taking bets on whether they would ever get married. Not literal bets. We don't do that. He said there's an app for that. So there was a time. Now, Robin, I got to ask you, when you were in middle school, did you ever dream, I'm going to marry a guy, go to this little church, and I'm going to be over the marriages in our church? Did you ever think about that? No, because I knew you. Here's where I'm going to pick you on a little bit. It was topsy-turvy, was it not? When they dated, can I tell them the story? Can I tell them the one story? Aaron's working late with me one night, and Robin's texting him, where you at? Where you at? He said, I'm with Damon. And I said, Aaron, does she not trust you? He said, I'm telling her I'm with you. She said, we worked all the time. And I remember your response. I don't know if you remember. You said, Aaron, y'all started at 8 o'clock this morning. It's 11 o'clock at night. Nobody works that long, not even coal miners. Do you remember that? And Aaron was right beside me. I didn't know you that good then. And I said, Aaron, give me her number. And so Aaron gave me her number, and I texted her, and I said, hey, have you seen Aaron? She said, he said he's with you. So the phone started ringing and ringing. Aaron said, should I answer it? I said, probably should answer it. I could hear her through the phone. Damon's looking for you. I said, give me the phone. I said, he's with me. These are her exact words. I hate you. I hate you. Man, in that moment, though, that was a tough moment, wasn't it? I'm sorry. If I never apologize, I am sorry. In that moment, man, it was a mess, wasn't it? And all of those things that you guys went through, man, now, what a blessing you guys are. But in those moments, man, it gets big. It gets really big. Sister Vanna used to make this statement all the time. She would say, puppy love is real love. And man, at that moment, when you're a kid, you think, this is the one. This is the one. And then you look back and you say, thank God that wasn't the one. I thought I knew, but I didn't know. But now all your decisions have brought you to this place. And there's a lot of pain that goes on in our decisions. There's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of regret. Some of you in this room have been betrayed. Some of you have betrayed other people. And those decisions bring us to this exact moment. Okay, again, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath. Do it again. Take one more deep breath. You are still alive. There are people that you know that are not here right now, but you're still here. Listen really close, because man, I really believe God laid this on my heart. Because you are here, there is a purpose in your life. That breath that you took just now was given by Almighty God. He breathed into man. You can open your eyes. I know some of you are getting sleepy. Darren, when everything is going good, I don't question my decisions. Amen? Man, when I'm in the middle of Zion National Park and I'm standing on a mountain, or if I'm on a volcano with you, almost 11,000 feet up in the, I guess it was a volcano, what it used to be or something, yeah. And I'm like, man, I made good decisions. Like, I really made good decisions. But when there's pain and there's regret and there's sorrow, then I begin to question, can I get an amen? But what if, listen really close, because this is important. What if the pain is an important part of the journey? Let me say that again. What if the pain that you had went through was very important to what God was wanting to do through you? Because I guarantee you, if you made other decisions, you would still have pain. But could I have lessened the pain? Could I have eliminated the pain? Could I have at least brought it down a couple of notches? I want you to notice what Jesus says. I've looked at this. I have studied this. I have even taught this. But I took a deeper look, had a conversation this week with somebody that really got me looking at these verses. He said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. I asked Tracy what straight was before church and she looked up straight and said, no curves. It's straight. Narrow is the way. So when we think about this, Darren, we think of it on this level. It sounds like a hard way. Come on, people. We live in West Virginia. What kind of road is easier to drive on, a wide road or a narrow road? Let me tell you what we've gotten good at around here. Driving on narrow roads. The narrow way, the straight way, makes it sound a little more difficult. Am I right? And it's the way it's been preached to us. Broadway. It's time to get off Broadway. Because broad is the way that leads to destruction. Wide is the gate. But narrow is the way that leads, and few be that find it. But I looked up this word narrow. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking thin, close together. No, that's straight. If you look up the word straight in the Greek, that's what it means. The word narrow means something quite different. We think they're about the same thing, straight and narrow. There's two different words right here in the Greek. Straight, meaning close together. Narrow. Show me my definition here. I want y'all to see this. Narrow. There's your Greek word. Phlebo. It's how the guy on my phone said it. It means to press. To press hard upon. A compressed way. It's a compressed way. It's a pressing. So if something is being pressed, what is being pressed? Sometimes we feel like it's us. Pressed on every side. Pushed. Some weeks I get up, Zach, and it just feels like pressure, pressure, pressure. I'm being pressed. Can I get an amen? And this is what happens to people. People come to church, they surrender their life to Jesus, and you know what they conclude sometimes? It's too hard. It's too hard. So you know what they do? They stop following him and go back to the rudiments of this world. Amen. Dustin, I don't know anybody that has ever made this statement. I'm not coming to church no more and serving Jesus because it's just too easy for me. But the narrow way is a compressed way. It is a pressed way. The way is pressed. Are you following me? Narrow meaning pressed. I want to show you something. Show my video. I recorded this video in 2018, not knowing that tonight I would use it in this sermon. Listen to me. Has anybody in here ever been on one of those things before in your life? Raise your hand. Let me tell you something about them. They are miserable. I posted on some social media account and said, nobody ever said when I grow up, I want to run a roller. Show it again. I want you to notice. If y'all don't see what is going on here, something's going on here. Do you see the gravel? Do you know why they're paying me to do this? Because the gravel is loose. And let me tell you something about a loose way. It's hard to get traction in a loose way. And let me tell you when it really, really becomes an issue. It's not on the flat ground. It's when you're going up a hill. That's when you want that packed and compressed. You want the way compressed as much as it can be compressed. Because when it's compressed, it doesn't move underneath you. I believe the psalmist said it like this. He said, my foot would have slipped had I not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. See, you got to hear this. The only reason that some of us haven't slipped is because God Almighty loves you enough that he compressed the way. The way is compressed. Now, when we talk about pressed, it's very important to remember this. Jesus came to this earth. God incarnate came in flesh. That flesh was pressed. They pushed him. They tried to take him. They tried to catch him up. Let me tell you something about him. He took on all the religion. This is scary too, by the way. That Broadway that leads to destruction, look up that word destruction, and the first thing we think of is hell. But that word is used as waste. Broad is the way that leads to waste. Are you listening to me? That word means, it's the same word that when they came and they took the perfume and they poured it on Jesus' feet, the disciples said, why this waste? It's the same word as destruction. What am I telling you? I'm telling you there are some people in this world that are not on the right path, and it's a waste. Their life is a waste. And you know what's even scarier than that? When we say broad is the way, you know what we're thinking about? Bars and all this evil stuff. There are religious people that are not on the right way, and it's a waste. There are people that go to church every Sunday and raise their hand, but they're not on the narrow path, and it's a waste. They dress up to go to church. They talk the lingo. They do all of that stuff. But unless you are on the narrow way, then it'll end in destruction. It's a waste. That should keep us praying more than we pray. Don't think too highly of yourself, because I'm going to tell you this. God's got somebody out in the gutter that can out-sing you, out-preach you, out-testify you, and do a lot of things that you're not willing to do. And you know what the church has got to do? Get fed up and say, I refuse to let them waste, because a way has been provided. The way is compressed. Stephen, you know what I hate? Dislike? Sorry. When they put a big, thick bed of gravel down on a hillside, and those coal trucks go up through there, what do they do? Yeah, it's a washboard. You know why? Because their way is loose. And I come up behind them, because the back end of that truck bounces, don't it? You know what I'm talking about? Put them chatter marks all on the side of a hill. And you're coming up, and I'm like, this is a rough way. You know why it's a rough way? Because it's a loose way. The way of a transgressor is hard. Now, let me just tell you what happened here. The DEP had this job shut down because the roads wasn't good enough. They shut us down. So all we did for months is work on the road. Work on the way. Work on the path. Does anybody know what type R is? We put down a whole mountainside of it. And they sent guys down there to work with me, and you'd roll them things out. We didn't have a machine. We kicked it. And here's the brilliant part. They started at the bottom. Yeah, this is the very bottom of the hill. And you couldn't really gauge how long it was without it. So we just had to start and kick it uphill. And we got one roll out. And this guy looked at me and said, phew. He said, I'm glad we got that done. I said, what was it you said? But wait, there's more. He said, if we got to roll another one out, I'm not going to make it. He said, you're going to have to make it. And we rolled it out, kept bringing it in, packing it in. I ran this crazy machine for days. Going somewhere with this. Hang tight. Those trucks, when they finally released the road, they went straight up the mountain. No chatter marks. It was compressed. The reason it was compressed is because I went before them and made the way. I said, the reason they made it, they didn't even know, man, this road is good. This road is good. Yes, it's narrow, but it's compressed. Yeah, it's narrow, and this is the way you have. There was only one way in. There was only one way they were allowed to travel. There was only one way. But I went before them, and I compressed it. And because it was compressed, and it wasn't loose, it wasn't wide, it was very narrow. And see, you're thinking this way. You got to think this way. Jesus prayed in a garden. When he went in that garden, The garden's name was Gethsemane. The word means press. Listen to me really close. He prayed in that garden, and nobody else was qualified to pray the prayer he prayed. How do you know, preacher? Because he took the disciples with him, and he said, tarry here. And he came back, and they were asleep. Let me tell you something. When God's got a place for you to go, not everybody is going to have the same vision that he has given you. There are going to be people that will sleep on your dreams. There are going to be people that are more satisfied with the wide way, with the broad way, with the scattered way. There are some people that, but I'm telling you, when you got a vision in your heart and God has put it in your heart, you're going to pray different. You're going to worship different. You're going to sing different. It's going to be compacted. It's going to be pressed. It was the oil press. Oh, I started seeing something here. Gethsemane means the press. The oil press, the wine press, where things are compacted. Let me tell you something about God. He went before you, and he didn't make a way. He was the way. I'm not looking for a road. He is the road. He went in that garden and he began to pray. We sung this song. Jesus prayed in the garden. He poured out his heart for me. There has been no love shown by mortal as in dark Gethsemane. Let me tell you about a Savior that knew what he was up against, but he pressed. Why did he press? Because he seen something greater than his pain, and the pain was part of the process. But he knew that, Darren, that if he would take that pressure, I would have a road to walk on. He became the way. I'm not walking with Jesus on the way. Jesus is the way. Oh, are you hearing me? How could he do it? How could he stand in that garden and pray that prayer? Lord, let this cup pass from me. Somebody asked me one time, we were talking about the Godhead, and they said, well, why would Jesus pray that? Why would he open his mouth and say, let this cup pass from me? I said, I'm going to tell you why. God loved man so much, he became one. The Bible says, that which we have seen, we beheld, our hands have handled the word of life. You know what's awesome, Jason? It's awesome when my kids hug me. How about your grandparents? I mean, sometimes you make them. You're like, give me a hug, give me a hug, give me a hug. But then there's other times, man, they just hug you. Can you imagine God loving man so much that he became one? And he's in the garden knowing that he's going to have to put off that flesh? Let this cup pass from me. But then he makes this statement, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The greatest press that ever took place in Gethsemane. His sweat became as great drops of blood. The press was squeezing something out of him. When you're under pressure, let me tell you what God's trying to do. He's trying to get something out of you. When God begins to tweak your holiness, it's because he's trying to make room for him to do something through you. As long, Darren, I believe if we are relaxed in our walk with God and we're not fervent, then not a lot's going to happen. But he said, when you seek me, when you begin to search with me, with your whole heart, he said, I'm going to be found of you. This is what he's looking for. He's looking for a connection with somebody that understands that they're walking on a road that they did not build. Amen. Oh, glory. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I wasn't there in the garden, but I'm walking on that road because he made a way where there didn't seem to be any way at all. It was shut down, but he opened it up because he loved me. Amen. How could he do it? I'm almost done. John 16:21. Scripture, when I read scripture and Jesus talks about the hour hath come, what is he talking about? He said, my hour has come. Hour has come. He's talking about his death most of the time when he uses that phrase. But right here, a woman when she is in travail hath sorrow. Can you say amen? I heard no man. I heard all female voices. Listen, I read something the other day that said if men had to have babies, every family would just have one. He said we'd be extinct by now. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish. For, listen to this, the hour's coming, you hear that? And now we're seeing joy. For joy that a man is born into the world. Her hour has come, she remembereth it no more. He bore our pain, he bore our sorrow. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Listen to this really, really close. The baby that is born because somebody else's hour has come. We got people believing that somehow they birthed themselves. If you have been born again, it's because somebody else went through the anguish that you did not have to go through. Oh, are you hearing me? If you are on the way, the reason you are on the way is because he was pressed. He carried your sorrow. He pushed through. I'm on a way, all right, and it's not my way. I didn't birth myself. I didn't put myself on this way, but I got a Savior that loved me so much that he picked me up out of the miry clay, and he set my foot on a rock, and it was a compacted rock. He didn't put me on loose gravel. He put me on a solid rock. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for making the way. That's how much he loved you. He became a little lower than the angels for you to be the way. So let me ask you a question. Does this take away any of what you previously thought before you heard me tell you this about this way being harder than the other way? No, sir. You don't get any traction out there on the wide stuff. You can't make it up the hill out there. There are people out there moving and thinking they're getting somewhere, and they're not going anywhere at all. But where I am, I'm walking on a narrow way. I'm walking on a compacted way. And because I'm walking on a road that somebody else has already built, he built it knowing that I was going to have some kind of footing, because this is a tough, it's just a hard old way. This is a miserable way. And I'm telling you right now, I'm having the best time of my life serving Jesus. And the greatest thing that ever happened to me is he picked me up and put me on that road. Can I get an amen? You go ahead and clap for him. He's not, he didn't make the road. He is the road. Some people, Josh, are on their way to heaven and they don't have this revelation. I'm not allowed to sing the song no more, am I, Eddie? That was fast, wasn't it? He said, I couldn't sing it, but I can say it. every time I sing I'm coming up on the rough side of the mountain, he goes around all week singing at his house. He told me one day, he said, stop singing that song. You know what I'm coming up on? A road that has already been prepared. Oh, come on. This ain't no hard old way. This ain't no rough side. This narrow way, it's a good way. It's the best way. Oh, by the way, it's the only way. The only way you're going to make it is to walk in his way. If a man comes in any other way, he's a thief and a robber. But when you come through the narrow gate and you walk the straight gate and you walk the narrow path, I promise you, you're going to make it because the road is designed for you to make it. I now would have slipped. But oh no, my God's too good to let me slip. My God's too great to let me fall. Come on, Aaron. Every time they beat him, they was compacting the way. They pressed a crown of thorns on his head. They pressed it to compact the way. The cross on his back was pressure compacting the way. Are you hearing me? He was pressed beyond measure. When this woman goes through travail, this verse made me think of this. He endured the cross, despising the shame. For what? For the joy that was set before him. Let me tell you what makes him forget all of that pain. The joy that you come into existence, that you're his child, that you've been born of him. And because you've been born of him, he walks in joy knowing that every bit of it was worth it. Gethsemane was worth it. The cross was worth it. I don't know if y'all know this or not, but Easter's coming soon this year. So you might as well get in the cross spirit, because I believe we serve a Savior that died for you, that was buried for you, and rose again for you. He made a way. Let's stand. Let's stand. We got a lot to pray about. We got a lot to pray about. Sister Alice, if you would, come up here. Sister Jennifer's mother, Candy, really needs a touch from God. Sister Alice, to stand in for her. If you are a believer and you believe that her healing has already been paid for, and if you believe the way to healing has already been made, before we ever got here, he took care of it. Would you point your hand this way? Would you ministers come and help us? Would you come and help us? Come on, come on, Dustin, come on.